This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and this will be one of my last shows for a week, as I will be traveling in a, I will be gone for a week, and I will be back the following week, of course. So, still unaware of who's going to be my replacement in that week span, but hopefully he will be fine, he or she will be fine as a replacement. So just give me all y'all your little heads up. First things first, so we got to talk a lot about in the world of sports is the New York Giants and their quote-unquote plan for the future. And it kind of contradicts itself almost. I'll explain later. Also, we'll talk about the classic Warriors and Rockets matchup and kind of the trash talking back and forth between the two teams, as well as Harden versus Steph, and I'll get on that in a little bit. Also, we'll talk about Pat Beverly and his choice of words for Lonzo Ball are less than kind, I guess you can say, as well as LeBron and his opinion on the chances of the Lakers making the playoffs. And anything else that needs to be discussed. I mean, probably some more football news free agency-wise, because that's still picking up pace. And we'll get on that as well. But let's talk about the New York Giants. So, all of you are aware they traded Odell Beckham Jr. for a first-round pick this year, which is a 17th overall pick from the Cleveland Browns, a third-round pick as well, and Jabril Peppard was the safety out of Michigan. But that's not their only really skeptical plan or planning for this upcoming season, or maybe even into the next couple of seasons, because who knows what their game plan is in the following seasons. So we all know that, like, apparently Josh Rosen's been in, like, a person of interest for the New York Giants, after the rumors of him possibly being on the market. And if he is on the market, they're going to go for him, or at least be interested in going for him, which makes sense. So they'll have the quarterback for the future after Eli Manning is gone, because Eli Manning is 38 years old, and he is at the end of his definitely at the end of his career. So it's definitely one of those things you're looking at and going, where they're looking for their next franchise quarterback. And I mean, Eli Manning is, I guess you could say, one of them, one of those franchise quarterbacks. He was a franchise quarterback, sure, but, man, to be completely honest, I think he had a lot more negatives that people thought about as negatives than thought about as positives. I mean, he won two Super Bowls, granted, but when you're thinking about it, it just seems to me that a lot of people would just have more criticism on him. And I think it's mainly because of, like, he's never been MVP. And, like, let's look at the 2 years he's won the Super Bowl. So if we go to the Giants season, let's just do this, shall we? So we go to the Giants season in 2011, where they won the Super Bowl 46. They were 9-7. And they won the Super Bowl. So obviously not the best year overall, but they won a very weak NFC East. So that made sense. And in 2007, they went 10-6 and weren't even the first in their division. They were second in the East. And so with that being said, and by the way, with only one Pro Bowler, not being Eli Manning. So it just seems that Eli Manning's, this is his career awards. Two Super Bowl champion, two-time MVP, Super Bowl MVP, not actual MVP of the whole season. But the thing is, I always put an asterisk like Super Bowl MVP because nine times out of ten, it's going to go to the quarterback of the winning team. And did he earn both of them? You can easily say so. Did other people earn it? You can make an argument for that as well. There was no like, oh, he was definitely the MVP kind of year, in my opinion. And he was a four-time Pro Bowler. And he wasn't even the Pro Bowler for the year he went to the Super Bowl the first time in 07. So that's something to think about. And he's a Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year in 2016. That's all his stats in his career. Four Pro Bowls in over a decade. And, well, actually, 15 years. This will be, yeah. So, if we look at his statistics throughout his whole career, I mean, he has 55,000 yards. He has 360 touchdowns, but yet 239 interceptions. It just seems that he's had a good career. He has never passed for 5,000 yards. Gotten close one time, but never actually did it. The most touchdowns he's thrown in a season is 35, which is still not bad. But there's also the most interceptions he's thrown in a season is 27. So, I don't know. I guess there's some things to consider when you're looking at Eli Manning. And that is a fact of, like, is he... I mean, he was the quarterback for over a decade. I get that part. But would you still describe him as a franchise quarterback? I mean, are those numbers franchise quarterback numbers? Because he's considered a franchise quarterback, absolutely, based on his two Super Bowls. But, man, when he doesn't make the playoffs, there's a lot of times where he just looks really bad. And if he's continued to stay on the Giants for this year, he's going to be the highest pay. He's going to make the most money of any NFL player in history and passing his brother on that mark. And I think plenty of people will say more along the lines to Peyton Manning is better than Eli Manning. So, I don't know. I just think if anyone was going to make the most money, it'd be like Tom Brady and stuff, of course. But Eli Manning has made the most money in his the career span of anybody. So, I'm not sure how to take. I'm not sure why he's going to stay an extra year or why they're willing to keep him an extra year. Because honestly, I think his time is over. I think a lot of people think his time is over, and yet he's still playing. And it's not like he's playing at like a Tom Brady level of like, oh, he's playing MVP kind of numbers. No, he's not. He's kind of struggling. He's always been an average quarterback, in my opinion, especially in the regular season. He obviously does some magic during the postseason, obviously, but honestly, it just comes down to it that he's a little, I would call, if anything, at best, I would call him above average quarterback. And I'm being honest about that. That's just my honest opinion on Eli Manning. And with that being said, the Giants are also looking to be involved with Josh Rosen if he is available. They said they would definitely be interested if he becomes available. Which another team has confirmed that he is being shot by the Cardinals, but yet nothing else has become of it. So we don't know if that's actually like a true statement or not. So I really don't know how else to say it. But more along the lines, if they do go for Josh Rosen, then it's almost it's just a foregone conclusion that the Cardinals are going to go after Kyler Murray in the first overall pick in the draft, which will drop the second pick, Nick Bosa, who was supposed to be the first overall pick for like this entire year of just like this is the Nick Bosa draft. And now he drops number two to the 49ers. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to say the least what they're going to do. And if the Giants do get Rosen and they don't start him right away, then I think his potential rises, because if they start him right away into an open fire, he's going to collapse. He's not going to live, or he's not going to live, with a strong word. He's going to burn up because of the fact that, like, during his time in Arizona, you can tell that, well, first of all, he barely had any time to throw the ball because his line collapsed on him very easily, which could very well happen in New York if he is given the ball, as in, like, it's a starting job of some kind. And then you're also looking along the lines of, if he's behind Eli Manning, is he really behind Eli Manning, is he going to marinate behind him and it could improve? We really don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I think if Josh Rosen gets traded, that'd probably be the best possible situation for him, because I think he needs to be behind someone for a couple of years, a year or two at least. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. I keep using that example, but, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, you know, when it comes down to arguably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He took a year off being behind Alex Smith as his backup, and then all of a sudden he gets the starting job because Alex Smith is now gone, and he throws for 50 touchdowns. I honestly don't think that's a coincidence. I think that year off was absolutely crucial for him. I think he learned the playbook really well. I think he learned just how to play the game the same pace as the coach wanted on the Chiefs. That's Patrick Mahomes, that is. And I just think it was just overall the best option for him, and it became the most successful thing for him. As you can tell, he won the MVP. He, like I said, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdown passes is never a joke. So definitely an impressive feat for Mahomes. And overall, you're looking at a potential the same way of Josh Rosen if he does get traded and moved to the backup position for a year or two, because that's what he needs. That's what all quarterbacks need. I know some players can come right on out of college and play at a high level. I get that. But when it comes to quarterback position, I honestly don't think that's the case. I honestly think there's a lot more to it. And then, of course, let's just say Josh Rosen becomes the starter of the Giants. Like, they just put him immediately as a starter. He doesn't even have Odell Beckham Jr. Like, you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm laughing at something because supposedly there was an update of the Cincinnati Bengals not signing Colin Kaepernick. Man, social media can be the meanest and cruelest thing, you know? But regardless, moving on from that funny joke, I guess, was a joke. Seems kind of mean, all things considered. Man. Like I said, they're just, sometimes social media is just mean. But moving on, I believe that, like, Josh Rosen would best fit, his best case scenario is to go to the New York Giants, be the backup there, and he can only improve. That's my honest opinion about that. So with that, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Warriors versus the Rockets, a big game, and kind of like there's also some a little flopping incident. Well, not, I won't say incident, but it's more along the lines of like a guy's upset at a guy flopping right off the bat, and I will love to talk about it. So we'll be right back right after this.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Let's talk about Warriors and Rockets, as the Warriors won without KD, but Boogie was the one that took over with 27 points, showing that he's still getting over that Achilles injury is not being a big of a factor in some games, as he is exploding in some games, but kind of slowing down in some. But overall, he's still playing at that high all-star level that he used to in the past. So it can only benefit the Warriors. Like, they need any more help. But regardless, there was actually one play I want to talk about during that Warriors and Rockets game. And that was, I think Curry was trying to swipe with the ball, and Damon raised, I think, raised Harden's jersey. And James Harden kind of sold it as he was getting hit in the face. And Curry kind of swung at the... swung in the direction of him, saying like, come on, don't do that, you're not hurt, you're fine, like kind of calling him out on it during the game as he's defending it, which was pretty impressive, all things considered. It was pretty gutsy to say that in front of the guy himself that is flopping. So, but thinking about overall the flopping and the history of flopping, that is, like, I know James Harden's not the only one that has flopped in the past, but he has certainly taken advantage of flopping opportunities in the past. And, yeah, that's just kind of how that goes in the world of the NBA. Is like, flopping, you know, they're fine for flopping. It's still an epidemic. And you can never really tell what is a legitimate foul or a flop nowadays. And, yes, there are fines for flop, but I rarely see them be dished out anymore. Maybe it was more of a fear tactic, who knows. But yeah, that was the case for quite some time. But overall, like I said, the Warriors won this game, and showing that they are still an elite team in the NBA. You know, also during that Warriors-Rockets game, Harden had under 30 points, so... that's two under 30 point games in the last like 2,700 games. I think we should definitely worry about the end of the world. You know, regardless, yeah, obviously not that, but oof, yeah. The game said here, but again, moving on to more basketball stuff. Just to finish off the Rockets and Warriors. Rockets are playing the last place Suns, who beat the Warriors and the Bucks recently. So that's not an easy feat. And the Warriors also play the Thunder. So there are some challenging things ahead for both teams, all things considered. And then today we have the Lakers and Raptors. And speaking of Lakers, what LeBron has said is playoff chances are slim to none. And he's right. There's almost no chance. I mean, technically there's a chance, but I think it's in the point less than 1% range. So, obviously, they would need an absolute miracle. And miracles are miracles. I mean, if it would happen, it would happen to them. But in reality, let's look at the facts. They're not making the playoffs. And this will be the first time in a long time that we've not seen LeBron James in the playoffs since 2004. And so, with that being said, I think the question needs to be asked, do you think he's regretting going to the Lakers? Did he want to win with the Lakers, or did he not mind losing with the Lakers? I think it's more along the lines of he thought he can elevate this team. Maybe he thought the Western Conference wasn't as challenging as everyone assumed they were. Maybe that could have been a problem. So we really don't know how it all collapsed. Of course, his age could be a factor in his length of injury, and how safe they wanted to play him being injured was probably one of those main problems as well. But you can give 100 different reasons why the Lakers aren't going to be in the playoffs. But with this offseason, I guess they need to get one or two more big-time stars to complement LeBron and be a better team. And, of course, people say, oh, Lonzo Ball was also out, who's a pass-first guy and can get the points scored not by him but by setting up other players, of course. So that's also something to think about. And also, when you're looking at just how the Lakers are in general, It's just a kind of disorganized team on the court, if you will. It just seems a little more disorganized than most. Guys seem to be shooting well just to pad their stats sometimes. It's just not a good environment over there in L.A., honestly. That's my honest opinion on the matter. And, you know, it just seems a bit disappointing overall, just looking at LeBron. And this is going to be a huge blemish on his career overall, just at the end of his career. And the classic LeBron-Michael Jordan comparison, this will be a season against Jordan rather than for Jordan. Because if Jordan, LeBron, because if LeBron went to, Jordan left the Bulls and he went to another team, you would expect him to make the playoffs regardless of their seeding last season. And you expect the same thing from LeBron. LeBron should, they were all predicting they would make them instant contenders and they might throw Golden State Warriors off their beaten path of a three-peat. That was the initial assumption. And now we look at it as, mainly a failure of the season, like a mediocre offseason for the Rockets and all these other things. And the Rockets still trying to play with just James Harden, but, you know, and that has also made them into a serious threat in the West. And then you're looking at LeBron and the Lakers, and they were looking at less than a threat in the West. So it's almost like you want to play LeBron now because, like, he's turning mortal. You know that Hercules Disney movie where they had the baby, him as a baby, drink that bottle of stuff that made him mortal, but he missed one drop? That's basically like LeBron, but he missed less than a drop. It was like a quarter of a drop of the stuff that makes you fully cured or fully mortal, and that's LeBron James the moment. He still has godlike powers, but he could be going Olympus, but instead he's like Hercules and he has to be down here on Earth for the time being. I don't know why I just went into a Disney reference, but I did. I mean, who doesn't like Disney, right? I mean, they're making a Frozen 2 for crying out loud, which that doesn't even seem like a movie you could need to make a Frozen 2 out of, so they're just doing sequels to everything. Like Space Jam 2, for example. But there was one play that really caught my eye during the Rockets and Warriors game is Steph was guarding Harden, and he kind of was swiping at the ball, but Harden sold it like he got hit in the face and almost tried to stop the game to get him so the call would be happening. And seeing the flops by Harden is really painful to watch sometimes because it's so obvious it's a flop. And Draymond Green, what he said after the game, because of the Rockets saddle talk, Draymond says, "I'm not sure stupidity juices anyone." And so he basically just called, what I'm taking from this is he called the Rockets as the stupid, just the stupidity he was referring to. So that was an interesting assumption, definitely for sure, just based off of those facts. One more thing before we go to break. Conor McGregor, there's a video of this. If you don't know, he recently got arrested for smashing a fan's phone. Well, he stomped on the fan's phone before he was arrested. And there was a video surfacing about it. And let's take, this is me reaction to the first time watching this. Group of people, McGregor looks at a phone on the ground, and it looks like he tries to pick it up. I don't see any of him smashing it yet. Or it fell on the ground like that and he picked it up. It's really hard to tell what exactly happened. Wow, that looks like the phone was already there, or is like a magic trick? I'm trying to figure out how this all went down. I don't see him forcefully throwing the phone on the ground. But maybe he was stomping on it. I'm not sure. This is an interesting thing to think about. As I'm watching this right now, there's a lot of questions. And when it comes down to Conor McGregor and his trouble with the law, it's pretty air apparent. So this just adds more fuel to the fire. And this will just give people who claim, like, it just seems to me that like this whole thing could have been easily avoided if Conor McGregor just kept his cool composure. I just sometimes feel like he's a little over-exaggerated. That's how I feel about it. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking about Pat Beverly and his thoughts on Lonzo Ball, and we'll continue with Lakers talk more after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Just finished talking about the Lakers and Rockets and Warriors and all those other teams. So with that being said, let's go to what Patrick Beverly and his comments about Lonzo Ball were, as he claimed he was easy. And I'm assuming he means guarding him or being guarded by him. It's unaware what he means by that. Maybe all around it's easy to have him on the opposite side of the team. Yes, there are a lot of weaknesses. With Lonzo Ball, but he has a lot of good strengths, especially in his passing. He's a great passer. He's a pass-first point guard, which you need at a point guard. And I think more along the lines, it's just you need to look at the fact that maybe Lonzo needs a lot of work. True, but maybe Lonzo will end up being better than Beverly. Beverly has always been known for a trash-talking type of guy, so that doesn't surprise me. So we'll see how the rest of the season goes with these trash-talkers on the same team kind of feel. But I'm assuming it's not going to be that big of a deal.
I honestly believe it's just trash-talking. Probably nothing too offensive. It wasn't like something over the line, of course. It was just a straight-up comment.
And, you know, Lonzo Ball is still trying to find his feet in the NBA. He has a couple of injuries he's going off of, so still a lot of unanswered questions, to say the least, for him. You know, I got to say, I just got to give a lot of prep to the Clippers, a lot of props to the Clippers. Trading Tobias Harris was supposed to be fatal, but it turned out they're still hoping for a spot in the Western Conference playoffs, and they're trying to end. I think they might get it, honestly. They look like a very good team, even without Tobias. And I think this team can only go up from here. And, you know, with the potential of free agent signings of, like, Kawhi Leonard and et cetera, this team could look pretty deadly in the next couple of years. So we'll see how all that goes down. But moving on from that, well, let's just talk about all the games that happened, shall we? Hold on, I dropped my phone. Unprofessional, I know. There we go. Got my phone back. So, Jazz beat the Suns 144-97, which makes the Suns best team in the NBA because... interesting report. Duke star cleared to play tonight versus Syracuse after coming from a knee injury. He said... Well, I guess that was the blown shoe. That was the blow-up shoe incident. But looking at this and thinking, like... The Duke organization was playing it extremely safe, keeping Zion out of the lineup for a couple of weeks, even though the injury was pretty minor. But you don't want to cost the kid millions and millions of dollars to get her during the regular season, do you? Yeah, like, it just seems to more along the lines of a smarter move to put him in a more crucial winning game situation like the ACC tournament and in the March Madness tournament than a regular season game where you know you could probably win anyways. So, bottom line, Zion is back. He's probably just as bad as he ever was. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him play against Syracuse tonight in the ACC tournament. And I think a lot of people are excited looking at Zion one more time when the lights are on bright and there's playoff aspirations on the line. I think that brings in a lot of more of a clutch kind of factor, a clutch character, if you will, based off the fact that, like, this is when everything counts the most. This is where everything matters the most. Are you going to handle the pressure? Are you going to fall to the pressure? Like, it's an unknown kind of situation where you're looking at it and thinking, well, however he does, he's still probably going to be a number one pick. But there's still going to be some concern if he can't handle the limelight, if he can't handle the big time, you know? Like, the biggest game of his college career so far was against North Carolina, where everyone in attendance was like a celebrity or had to get good seats for this. I mean, President Obama was there, for crying out loud. That's how crucial this game was for between North Carolina and Duke, and what the story holds in that time frame. So with that being said, him playing in this ACC tournament is his first real prove that you're worthy kind of game, in my opinion. So if he does well in this, then I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he will be the number one overall pick in the draft, despite if they don't win the tournament. So that's just how I see it, and I think that's how most people see it too. Maybe I'm wrong, but the question is, we really don't know what team is going to go to. Is it the Suns? Is it the Cavaliers? Is it the Knicks? I mean, I think those three teams, maybe even the Bulls, you can add to that list as well. There's still a lot of unanswered questions when it comes down to who's going to win the sweepstakes known as Zion Williamson. And I'm honestly looking forward to it. I don't think there is any doubt he's going to get it, the number one pick, unless he, like, seriously injures himself. Knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen. But regardless, it's one of those things you're looking at it and going, just hoping he succeeds and hoping he does well, because, like, he just seems also like a humble kid as well and just seems grateful. So you just would hate to see a guy like that hurt. So hopefully he will be fine in the ACC tournament, as well as fine when it comes down to the actual March Madness tournament, where Duke can still take a first seed if they win the ACC tournament. So it is an important tournament to get on when it comes down to the important factor of seeding and who you're playing in the tournament. I mean, would you rather be a 1 seed playing a 16 team or a 2 seed playing a 15 seeded team? Because a 15 seeded team has beaten them more times than a 16 seed team has. Only one time in history has a 16 seed team won. That was last year. And they've lost over 130 games in the tournament, won the 16 seed at least. So, I mean, if you want to win this tournament, if you want to get that number one seed, Duke, then you have all, with the addition of Zion, you have all the chance of the world. Probably the favorites, actually. But that's probably a little exaggeration, of course, due to that fact. But regardless, I think, honestly, it's going to be coming down to, when it comes down to who is going to take the ACC, it's going to be a rematch of North Carolina and Duke, honestly. Didn't play against North Carolina. He only played for, like, what, 3 or 4 minutes the first game when he hurt himself, then didn't play the second matchup against North Carolina. So I think he has a lot to prove when it comes down to that game against North Carolina, the biggest rivalry in college basketball. So, yeah, that's how I'm going to put it. But I think we will take a quick break, and when we come back, I will definitely tell you about other stuff in the world of sports. What to look for, and hope I can help you get all your sport fixes in today. Like I said, I was leaving, if anyone's curious, I'm actually going to Hawaii, so I'm looking forward to that for the week. Just take a load off, relaxing, you know. Getting up at 4 in the morning to get here is not that easy, so I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be enjoying my time in Hawaii, and as I'm going to be in Hawaii, I have a gut feeling I should have my phone on me at all times because I'm going to get updates of free agency or trades or something left and right because these last couple of days have been crazy and crazy. And you know what? Even more crazy. So we'll talk about all that, all the other good stuff when we need to right after this. Don't go anywhere. We're almost done for the day.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We're finishing up the day here. You know, with the whole NFL new league, the season officially began Wednesday. And, well, it officially began yesterday. And we are already hitting our stride. And I don't think we have even begun to know this good, all this good stuff yet. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. did write a very heartfelt message on Instagram thanking his Giants family. And what they did to him, what they did for him, actually, and how much they meant to him. And it doesn't seem like there's going to be any grudges against the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. based on that trade, because sometimes you see this, and sometimes they get traded, and they hold these massive grudges against the teams that traded them. But it doesn't look like that this is going to that's going to happen today, or that's going to happen in this circumstance at least. But, you know, people are already wanting their Odell Beckham Jr. jerseys. People are already wanting their Nick Foles Jaguars jerseys, their Earl Thomas' Ravens jerseys, their Antonio Brown's Raiders jerseys. And, well, come to think of it, like, the biggest signings are all AFC teams. Is there one NFC team that got a huge signing like that? I don't think they did. I think it was all AFC to think about it. So, you know, if you're a fan of a team in the NFC, there's a fine line in there. Like, there's a good news, bad news. Good news, bad news is you didn't get one of those key players. Good news is you don't have to play them in the playoffs if you make it to the playoffs because they're an AFC team. They're on AFC teams. So, yeah, that's definitely interesting to think about overall. And we'll look at the AFC when the AFC playoffs hit in January. Like, will we see the Raiders? Will we see the Ravens? Will we see the Jaguars? And will we see the Browns all in the playoffs with these new acquisitions? And if I had to make an early guess on those four teams in there, because I'm sure, like, I think we all could agree those four are the biggest teams that have won the offseason so far, quote unquote, are, mainly it's going to be the Browns winning the offseason, as well as I would say the Ravens are up there too, getting Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram, who's a very underrated running back and could definitely help the team. And as well, there is also the Jacksonville Jaguars, who upped their quarterback position and waived Blake Bortles, which was much needed to do, as everyone's atoned. They wanted to move on from him. So they got a decent quarterback in Nick Foles, who has proven himself, and they got rid of Blake Bortles, which needed to be done. And with that being said, like, where is the next stop for him too is the question. I wonder where the next stop is for Blake Bortles. Obviously, he's not going to be a starter anywhere, But regardless of that, I think it's more along the lines of who just would like to have him as a backup. I don't think anyone's like, oh, we need to find a backup quarterback right now, and he's perfect. He's going to get signed before the season ends, or the offseason ends, I'll say. But I think it'll take a little bit more time for him to get officially signed to a team, though, for sure. And with that being said, just going off of how everything went for the Jaguars, they made what sounds like they only made one real move, and that one real move has really pushed them into a playoff contender, honestly, back into that. Because, like I said before, they just need a guy that can get first downs. They need a guy that can drive the ball for 10, 15, 20 minutes in a game for time of possession, and that defense can go back to the way it was. So that's just how I see it in the swing of things. And overall, I think it's a pretty decent move, all things considered, getting Foles and getting that job done, because I don't think that Blake Bortles is going to win them an AFC championship as well as a Super Bowl, you know what I mean? And then it's just so weird to think about how happy Browns fans are right now as well. And, you know, with that whole the Jaguars trade, it does seem that, like, Nick Foles is appeared to be the guy, $88 million, which I'm pretty sure is the second highest amount total for a player this free agency. So that's going to be a big moment, and we'll see how they all come about later on. And will Nick Foles take him to a Super Bowl? Maybe. I'll say strong maybe. And will, like, the acquisition of Dee Ford and Quan Alexander boost up the 49ers offense, or defense, excuse me, and I say yes, but will it help him win games? That's still to be determined. And when other news comes at you, we're actually doing the football podcast right after this podcast, so tune into that. And that is our show for the day. Thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, tune us in our football podcast today as well as our soccer podcast today. We had a lot to talk about there. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.